I want you to remember to stay good boys and girls. Respect your mothers and fathers and do what they tell you. Obey your teachers and learn a whole lot. Now, if you do this, I'll make sure you get good presents from me every year. But if you're bad boys and girls, your name goes in the bad boys and girls book.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. It is our final Christmas episode of Film Sack for 2019.
And, glad you had that 2019 in there.
I know, right?
I was getting a little worried.
Yeah, a little worried. 447 is the episode. My name is Scott Johnson. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, and I'm joined today by Brian When Santa Loves Mommy Very, Very Much, Dunaway.
Oh, he loved her a little too much. Oh, ho, 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 hi. Dear Penthouse, I never thought this would happen to me. Hopefully me and Ibid didn't do the same thing.
Yeah. But I hope it's not all three of us.
Yeah. Right. Oh, good. Yeah. But I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus and I liked it. I mean, I liked it to a level that is probably socially unacceptable, except for here in the pages of Penthouse. Now, this next part I'm going to tell you about has never been put to a tune. But after the smooching, I hung around for the 30-minute leg-hugging show that followed. Boy, oh boy, if you ever had the question, is Santa a leg man? The answer is a resounding, uh-huh, and how. Now, I probably should have gone to bed at that point and dreamed of candy canes and presents, but something just kept me hanging around. And man, am I glad I did, because after the leg-worshipping event, I saw something that I have never seen before in my entire little life. The best way I can describe it is Santa got busy decorating Mama's Christmas tree. I mean, I don't even know that was a thing. Well, at this point, I was so excited, I had to run tell my brother what I saw. Needless to say, he didn't get it. I guess you had to be there. Anywho, hope to talk to you more in the spring when Mom and Dad will undoubtedly ruin Easter with their sexy cosplay shenanigans. Signed, yours truly, Moss Garcia. Wait, twist ending. Ha, you thought it was other guy. Not Harry. That was Moss. Magic stalker van, fly away, fly away.
Oh, that was great. Well done. But this also
now for a different take on that.
Yeah, very much. From all the way in beautiful, lovely Canada, where he's on vacation right now. Randy, who names their kid Moss anyway? Jordan.
Aloha, ooh. Scott, Brian. Hi. That would be Richard Ayoade's mom from the IT crowd.
There
so,
you go.
Okay. Boys, son, I think it's time we had to talk about sex. I know you're a big boy now and you've got a lot of questions, but I think I can answer them all with one simple idea. Sex is when a man sits on the floor while a woman stands facing him and he holds his face about a foot away from one of her legs while he caresses her other leg with one hand very slowly and doesn't do anything else. All right, good talk. Please don't go cut yourself.
Oh my God. I'm such a cutter after that scene. Yeah, it felt a bit like a hygiene class film, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit, except the student was behind bars leading upstairs to his bedroom.
Right.
With us finally, Brian, his toy hatchets are deadly sharp, Ibbot.
Oh, they are too. All right, here we go. Tuck in, everybody.
All right.
'Twas the sack before Christmas, yes. And all through the studio. Not a Phil Collins track was playing, not even Sue Studio. Randy, Scott, and Brian had joined me with their notes and their mics to record a new episode with our jokes and dislikes. When down here in the basement, I heard such a noise, it sounded like someone had knocked over all my Spice Girls toys. Oh, Santa, I exclaimed. It's good to see you this winter. Come in, have a seat. One sec, I'll move this 3D printer. Santa said, I've been watching all the movies, you see, and I was wondering if you'd do a big favor for me. You see, I'd like to join you as you record today's fair. I've watched Christmas Evil, and I'd like to be fifth chair.
Yeah.
I've got my opening written, he continued to talk. It's a bad... I've got my opening written, he continued to talk. It's about a bad Santa who is caught unwrapping some woman's box. I've even got my Twitter post, which I won't share at this time, because it's 288 characters and won't fit with this rhyme. I cut him off there, and I said, oh, Santa, I'm sorry. You've always been so good to me ever since that Atari. But the show's made for four hosts. There's no more room in the boat. But I will take your Twitter post because it beats what I wrote.
Yeah.
And as he walked out dejected, I could tell he was pissed. Hope you have a good show, boys. Enjoy being on the naughty list.
Oh, yeah.
Nice
this
job.
This is why I didn't do any rhyming, because I thought about writing a rhyme, but I said, nah, Ibbit will kill it.
Yeah, he'll take it. He'll take that job and he'll do well with it. Nice job.
We are definitely on Santa's naughty list. There's no doubt in my mind. I just hope that no wannabe Santas out there have us on their naughty list.
In their naughty volume 1979. Yes, agreed.
This is all true. All right, hey, check it out, everybody. We watched a movie called Christmas Evil, or otherwise known as, what was the other name?
Better watch out.
You better watch out.
Yeah, you better watch out, which...
I think there was a third one, too. Wasn't there like a third?
There was. It was like... Evil Santa. No, it was like
let's see.
Terror in Toyland was the
that's
other
it.
Name.
That's it. Yep.
Right. Which
Terror in
someone,
Toyland.
Someone apparently gave it that name without watching the film or reading the script or
yeah.
I don't mind Terror in Toyland, because I mean the movie is ostensibly about a guy who makes toys, right?
Yeah, all right. I mean, but it's not Toyland, it's a factory, and the factory is important, really, as important to the story as, you know, just the stuff going on in this guy's head.
The terror happens there is the point. The terror is like he's a psycho. Actually, there's not that much terror. I'm just going to say this right up front. Dude does not kill enough people. For a Christmas horror movie, not enough death.
I was so pleased that he did not. I was so pleased that this movie reached deeper than I thought it would.
I mean, it did. Wow. It did. And Brian, listen, Brian Dunaway, or Ibbit, during the week, he made a few references to this, but says, look, if you've seen Joker and this, there's some similarities. It's somebody...
Some weird parallels.
Yeah, parallels. And I haven't seen Joker, but I know enough about it to now understand what you're saying. And I think you're right. And it is more about it's a kind of a falling down. I mean, there's a million movies like this where...
Right.
Somebody's just kind of had enough, the final straw sort of moment they have, and they snap and they become psychos. And this is one of those, and it's so much one of those that I think the body count's only three, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's how many people in front of the church? Because there's like
Well, that's the question.
Two dudes, right?
Because they did he kill them or he just blind them? Did he kill? I'm not sure. So yeah,
they were when everybody else was running back into the church. It seemed like there were two or three people laying on the ground, not moving at all.
Yeah. But besides besides Fred the jerk, that's all the other people he killed, right? So I mean, it was like maybe three or four.
Didn't he axe? Did he just axe Fred on the head, or did he axe?
No, he didn't axe Fred on the head. He gave him a star to the neck.
To the eye, I thought.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, not Fred. The guy in front of the church.
He's got the thing in
one guy's eye.
Then
he asked, was it the same guy in the head?
See, that's the problem. That scene is really convoluted. You can't tell who he's hitting. Like,
it might have been Frankie that I was thinking, not Fred. I can't remember. Frank.
There's a trope at the heart of this film that sets it apart from Joker and so many other movies that we might compare it to. And that's the trope called sympathetic murderer. Harry, and the difference between sympathetic murderer and murderer is that Harry isn't necessarily malicious. He's working from a moral code, and he's got reasons, things he sees, that justify, at least for him, what he's doing.
Right.
And that's like that has the potential to always be really interesting. I mean, this is a horrible movie, but it has the potential.
I think it's only horrible in I thought about this a lot during the week, because every time I tried to walk away from Christmas Evil and go, nah, it's just a crappy movie, I kept going, but what if it had a better budget? Because mm-hmm. I feel like right. the skill level and the talent was there. I just don't think they could get everything they needed with the budget they were on.
Hmm. Right. Better budget, a couple better actors, throw a Christian Bale in there as Harry,
they're onto something here, buddy.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, and make it something a little bit, you know, it's a psychological thriller that just mm-hmm. happens to have some slasher elements, but really it's a psychological.
See, that's interesting. You went with Christian Bale. I would have gone with Patton Oswalt as your dark. Oh,
well, agent. then it is going to be comedy, right? I don't know.
No, you could do serious. You could do serious. Like in fact, he did one like this. Remember that one where he what was that movie where he called into a sports talk radio show all the time, and it was super dark. Ah, he got a fan or something, right? No, but it was kind of like that, and he got a lot of renown for that. Like it was a big. Right. I'm a huge fan of comedians doing serious things, because I think they go deeper and get weirder, and it's a thing.
Like the Adam Sandler thing.
Big fan.
Like
that's
blowing up.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Big
yeah. fan. I remember. So my most, to me, the most interesting example of sympathetic murderer, and believe me, I understand this is complicated. But it's the recent James Bond films, because James Bond himself, for me, for my viewing, he's not really a super agent anymore. He's a guy who's out there killing people who need to be killed.
Right.
And he's very sympathetic. He's got really good reasons for all of these killings that he's doing, and he's doing a lot of them.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's no longer like James Bond is a sort of a crime fighter. And he's working for a government, right? Like he's not trying to, you know, save the Western world through legal means, you know. Like he is a sympathetic murderer, is what he is.
Kind of, yeah.
I find that very, very interesting.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I just say I hate to compare Christmas Evil to, you know, objectively good films by comparison, but it's just like that's a fascinating trope. That thing. And
right.
Like I'm glad that it brought it up.
Yeah.
Right. Back to the quality of acting too. I think that Brandon Margot, who played our Harry character, I thought he did pretty freaking amazing job.
I don't know about amazing, but did all right. I mean,
yeah,
pretty good. Again,
it's Maggart, you know, because he might listen and might send us an email and say it's pronounced Maggart.
Maggart, you darn Maggart.
Yeah. Looks like Maggot to me, but whatever.
Right. He's done a lot of TV stuff here and there, but I thought I really bought into his Santa insanity. Insanity. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I see what you've done. I see what you've done there. I see.
Right.
No, he's fine. It's not that he couldn't do the job. It's just there's just an overall sort of, there's an earnestness to it. Okay. And I respect that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like everyone's trying real hard. But whether it be budget or director or skill or just pacing or whatever all the things are, I can't at the end of this say, oh, this is a very good movie.
I didn't say it was a very good movie.
the reason, what's his name? Waters. I always want to say
John Waters.
Yeah. I always want to say Roger Waters for some reason.
Right.
John Waters says it's his high recommendation for any kind of holiday movie. Is because John Waters loves psycho shit like this. Like
Kitch.
I'm going to say, have you ever watched, I'm not going to give Louis Jackson, the director of this movie, too much crap, because I'll say some of the things that he was able to pull off and some of the shots that he was able to get in there, I don't know if it was all a cinematographer or what, but all I got to say is, and this is a really stupid comparison, it's going to make some people mad, but if you've ever watched early Spielberg stuff, with that low budget, I'm just saying it's not that far away from this.
Hmm.
I'm not saying this guy has Spielberg talent going forward. I'm just saying at the low budget level, he did pretty darn good.
I wouldn't compare it to anything newer than Duel.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Right, because after Duel, he actually started having a budget. So
exactly. But the driverless truck chasing down the dude, yes. that's kind of on the level
Right. With the special resources effect he level had. Of this.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, the editing was what it was. The audio was what it was. If you ever watch a duel, it kind of suffers from the same things where, you know, the audio is inconsistent just because you didn't have the opportunity to have consistent equipment everywhere that you were filming and just kind of pieced it the better, you know, to, as well as you could.
Yeah, there was a bit of that going on for sure. There was also a heavy use of this thing that used to happen in 70s and 80s. Horror movies, which was these weird interstitial sounds, just discordant sounds instead of music, like things like that. And I capped a few of them. We've talked about them on previous episodes of the show, but this thing really relies on this weird use of that stuff.
Sure.
It's really distracting, but in this case, it felt really weirdly fitting. Like this movie would be weird if it didn't have it. So as dumb as it is and as annoying as it can be, it actually fit for me in a weird way. Like I came away from this having way more fun with the movie than I expected. And there again, that earnestness comes through. Like they're really trying to make a good Christmas horror movie or a psychological thriller or whatever you want to call this. The director once said this is more of a Frankenstein movie. And the only reference to Frankenstein obviously. I can find is him getting chased by people with torches. That was about it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. He's turning into a monster, and he doesn't understand good and evil as it is based in polite society. So I can kind of see that the Frankenstein angle. Of course, that's
Scott
the story. But
I feel like you should have given yourself a trope alert, Scott. No. You actually mentioned the trope of the pitchforks and torches crowd literally having torches.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. They did.
Like, I stopped. I'm like, okay, right now, if there was a horrible human being and I was asked, we need to hunt. There's neighbors going door to door. We're hunting a guy. You got to join us. We're going to stop this crime wave.
Right.
Could I put together a torch in a reasonable amount of time? I'm asking myself, with what I have on hand? And the answer is no, unless I just wanted to set something valuable to me on fire.
Right. I could make one out of a shovel, but at that point I might as well just carry the shovel. Right.
Yeah. Well, see, that's kind of a double bonus, right? Like you wrap a rag around the top of the shovel, soak it in, I don't know kerosene. What you soak it in.
Yeah,
I think I've got a tiki torch that I could probably dump the contents onto the rag, light it. But then once you find the guy, you use your torch to find the guy. Then you already have a tiki torch,
why don't you just carry that?
Yeah. Well, because tiki torches have kind of fallen out of favor in the last few months.
True story.
Yeah, tiki torches don't exactly have the same decorative cachet they used to have.
Not as quaint as they used to be.
Yeah, not as much. I looked at his filmography thing. Lewis Jackson's has three directorial credits. He has three writing credits and a bunch of special thanks stuff. But three directorials...
Go ahead.
The three things he did was Christmas Evil, which is what we just watched. In 1974, he did something called The Transformation, A Sandwich of Nightmares. And then something called The
Deviants. Can I direct your attention to the movie poster for The Transformation, A Sandwich of Nightmares?
You may indeed. Thank you very much.
Because it looks like a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Oh, look at this.
It does.
Wow. Wait a minute.
Exactly
like a choose your own adventure book. And the plot is
a film?
Novice Baxter falls in love with exotic singer Michelle, who turns out to be the high priestess of a cult he's investigating. The fictional part of the film is bookended with behind the scenes footage of the production. So it's a movie where they didn't have enough movie, so they put behind the scenes, the making of the movie.
Wow.
At the front and end of the movie.
Wow.
And don't forget the subtext on the poster, sexual film odyssey of a young girl exploring her innermost fantasies in a sea of navels, thighs, and buttocks.
And you missed up at the top. It says, Diana is coming in.
I forgot that part.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a
sandwich of nightmares.
No, we really don't need to see this.
But the sandwich of nightmares is that the movie is sandwiched between the making of a documentary about the making of.
Speaking of sandwich of nightmares, I don't want to go too early on what grossed Scott out, but man, Santa eating that sandwich.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. You got it already.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Eating the sandwich?
When he was slurping it up and drinking that water.
Yeah, that's what I wrote to you, is that like his mustache getting all soaked with milk, and then he's like eating.
Wasn't even milk.
Here's the thing. Whole movie, I can give you so many examples of where I thought, oh, you know what? This, what's his name? Lewis Jackson. Lewis right. Jackson has a camera here and he can't change the focal length.
Mm-hmm.
He
That's
is
right.
stuck. He is stuck framing something up close mm-hmm. because apparently he's in a room that's too narrow and he's got nothing like it. The whole movie, I'm like, why don't these guys use some different equipment? I feel like I'm constantly being forced up
because
close.
He was Poe.
I guess like
right.
it just really bugged me. Like the guy knows what to do with a camera. It right. just didn't.
Well, I've been like, involved in a couple of small film projects, and we're always beholden to whatever equipment we have, mm-hmm. at least up until this point. So, I mean, up until more recently, when you can pretty much film anything you want to on your iPhone, it was a real question. You know, it's like, okay, well, we have three of these cameras that we can use, and we want to be consistent, but they're not as good as this one camera we have. And so you just kind of get stuck. It's just all low budget stuff, you know. It's
and kind of what and you speaking have. Speaking of making movies on our iPhones, did everybody finally ever see the Florida Project?
No, that was filmed all on iPhones, right? I never saw it.
Oh, really? The one with the two kids terrorizing a small apartment complex in Coral Gables or something, wherever it is.
That,
just outside of Orlando.
What was his name? Who's in that? Freaking, can't think of his name.
Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe. Thank there you go.
Yeah.
Stop
looking
at my yeah, and he's fantastic, by the way. Deserved a nomination.
He was really good in that. Yeah.
But the thing about it is... when you're making a movie with an iPhone, you can go places because nobody notices. Nobody cares
right.
if you're carrying around an iPhone.
Yeah, it looks like and you're filming like anybody else would. You're just making an Instagram post or something. Sure.
And so the Florida Project, and I guess this is a spoiler, sorry. The Florida Project depicts kids breaking into Disney World and having the run of the place. And... You could have, like Disney World doesn't allow you to go film inside their park. Mm-hmm. That's like completely verboten.
Right.
But everybody's in there with iPhones and they're filming. Like, so there's you can't stop that. Right.
Right.
And so the filmmaker, whose name I'm forgetting, just went in there with an iPhone and filmed these kids running around in Disney World and now has the shots that justify the story he's telling. Yeah. And it's like, wow, you could just go anywhere now and take
absolutely.
Film. You know, like,
well, more than ever.
Anyone ever see Escape from Tomorrow, which unfortunately, I mean, came out back in 2013, but it's a similar thing, except they actually filmed it in Walt Disney World. They couldn't use, I don't know why they didn't use iPhones, because that would have made things a lot easier. But they, it's basically about this seedy underside of Walt Disney World attacking this family as they... go through it and they filmed it in Disney World with little handheld cameras
and they were pissed, right? Disney was super pissed.
Disney got pissed, but if they would have used iPhones, they probably could have done a better job. probably wouldn't have they wouldn't have even gotten caught with or maybe they didn't even get caught. Can't remember the deal.
It says,
and people walk into Disney World with lenses all the time too. You could put you could have a bunch of different clip-on lenses for your iPhone.
Yeah,
and you'd be fine.
Yeah, the new thing has got all kinds of pro set stuff on it. Like you can
amazing.
Yeah, you can do crazy things with it. But yeah, I'm looking at that poster. I didn't realize this was so long ago. It's 2013. I thought this feels like yesterday. Yeah. That's crazy. I remember hearing about this when they were suing them and everything. It was bad.
Right. I'll tell you what feels old, not Christmas Evil from 1980, but the representation of 1942 with Santa coming down the chimney and then going to wash his hands in a bowl of water. And I was like, nobody does that. And I'm like, oh, during the 40s, I guess people still did because everybody had.
It was 47. And I guess maybe that's true. But the house
I'm
they
sure
were
it was
depicting.
Still around. It wasn't the norm, but you certainly probably still saw it a lot.
Yeah, but that house was like a suburban house in a suburban neighborhood. There's no way it didn't have plumbing.
They weren't limited by budget. But yeah, the representation or the idea.
Yeah.
You know, then, on paper was that he would be doing this.
Like and like so many things in this movie, that was very carefully crafted. That was actually quite thoughtful. I thought, oh, right, they're trying to transport me, the 1980 audience, back in time 30 years and it worked. It's like, well, Santa's going to be all covered in soot when he's come down a freaking chimney. So we're going to leave out a way for him to wash his hands before he touches our stuff. Yeah. Like, that makes sense. And it, you know, like, it, even though it wouldn't have made sense in 1980 that much, it made sense to take you back in time. And I really, really like that. But of course, I was sitting there questioning, wait, is that Dad at
right,
first?
Right.
Or is it the real Santa and then Dad later? I couldn't, that was confusing. And so, like, I didn't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I thought that's why Santa wore gloves, though. Like, he comes down the chimney, he's all sooty, takes off the gloves, eats the cookies, drinks the milk, puts the gloves back on, goes back up the chimney.
I thought Santa was magic. I didn't think he had to touch anything. I thought he was like
just
resistant.
Like Teflon, like soot just doesn't stick to him kind of thing.
Yeah. That's the Santa I know.
That's the one you're familiar with? Sure.
That's right. And by the way, it may have annoyed some people, this scene where Harry, as Santa Claus, is trying to go down Frank's chimney to kill him.
Yes.
And that suffering of him trying to get down there, and that was the best part for me, watching him try to suck himself back up out of there when fantasy and reality meet.
100%.
That was amazing.
If, you know, just drawing on the Joker comparison one more time,
right.
This is the equivalent of the scene where Joker is dancing down the stairs in Brooklyn.
So good.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. That part was good. And I liked it because it fought in the face of what should be a Santa thing that's easy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like when you
right.
think of Santa Claus, you're like, oh, he just rips in up and down those chimneys and leaves his stuff and then off to the next house and somehow does seven continents worth of deliveries in right. one night. And that's the fantasy. And here he is trying to live that fantasy and he can't get down the damn chimney. It's great.
Harry didn't break his reality. I mean, you would think that might would break right. his reality, but it didn't. And
no.
he
right.
just kept on going.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was exactly. that was really fun to watch that. Yeah.
Ho, and I ho, love ho, that. Modern chimneys suck. Ho, ho, ho.
And I love that in other movies. I just love it. I love it when somebody is either pretending to be something and reality ensues, or just you have, like, I don't know, you have powers and you're powerful, but you're not that powerful. You can't, like, a simple thing like the size of a chimney, you know, will defeat
right.
you. Mm-hmm. I love that. I can think of so many examples of that one.
Yeah. And
I've been talking this movie up, and people are going to think, I got to go watch this movie. You don't have to watch this movie. It really is a low budget experience. If you're not a fan of low budget films, you're not going to enjoy yourself.
Right. But that earnestness comes through. And I know I keep hammering on that. And there's something of value in that. Right. Like
right.
even when it's like watching an old Ed Wood movie, or, you know, a mm-hmm. modern equivalent might even be John Waters or somebody. But, you know, when you know that their heart is all in it and it's just still not very good, it elevates the content. It makes it a little better, or at the very least watchable, because you're witnessing something where they didn't just half ass it. They did what they could with what they had. And there's something about that in this movie that I liked. I liked that, and I felt it through most of it.
I'm glad it wasn't a kill count movie like we talked about at the beginning. That was probably the biggest surprise to me. I really thought this was just another slasher movie kill count.
They didn't have enough strawberry puree.
From the movie poster, it looks like it's going to be. They're comparing it to Friday the 13th and Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man, all right, it's just going to be Santa goes crazy, kills everybody, blah, blah, blah.
I kind of want to argue that that's the letdown of the movie, though.
It
sets me up with expectations that it never even comes close to meeting. Like, because it starts with an inception of a villain scene, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What set this guy off? Oh, here, we're going to depict for you the, you know, the trope of harmful to minors. And then I'm like, okay, I am all ready for this guy to grow up and be an absolute maniac and kill people and kill lots of people. And there's some killing, right? But it's nothing like Friday the 13th.
Nothing like the Friday. Well, the first one is kind of more like this, but not. No, there's way more killing in the first Friday the 13th.
I agree. I think the comparison is not a good comparison. Him saying it's more like Frankenstein is a little bit of a stretch, but I understand what he means.
Right.
I would call this closer to something like, oh, okay, there's this old movie with I can't think of his name. Guy that was in, he was Merle in Walking Dead first season. It was in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay. Played
Yondu.
Yeah. Yondu.
Mary Poppins, y'all.
Can't think of his name. Oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? Oh. Hold on.
I know I had to look it
up.
Oh,
it's gonna annoy me.
You find it? Because I'm doing the same.
No. Hold on. Guardians. This is gonna drive me nuts. Guardians of the Galaxy. Yondu. Where are you, buddy?
Michael Rooker.
Ah, Michael freaking Rooker. Jeez.
Oh, you're trying to think of the Michael Rooker name. I thought you were trying to think of the film.
No. So, well, I am, but Michael Rooker was in it. It's an old movie from the 70s. I'm going to find it here, or 80s rather. Mm. It's called Henry, A Portrait of a Serial Killer. That's the movie. Oh, yeah. And okay. I finally saw that after years of people saying, you should see that. And there is more death in there, but not much more than this. And it's a lot like this. It's a right. guy you just sort of watch slowly smolder into a mess, which is, you know, ultimately ends, brings on his own demise. Now, the difference here, though, this movie last night, we haven't even talked about this yet. Somehow, at the end of this thing, I think he's really Santa Claus at the end or something, because his van drives off.
His little magic.
How are we supposed to interpret it? What are we supposed to think of that?
My take is that we're purely seeing the fantasy from his point of view. He's going off the thing. He's dying. The van is crashing and it's the end of Harry. But I think we're seeing his imagination of how he perceives his world ending.
Okay. Totally a valid one way to look at it. But I think that this is more of a nod towards truism, that this guy really has found a way to rally such faith in kids and Santa that it ends up being like a Christmas movie, literally a Christmas movie where magic happens at the end.
I hate that idea. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think maybe if that is what he was going for, then man, what a weird way to go.
And the thing is, it could have been depicted just a little bit differently to make that case.
Right.
What is depicted is just the imagination of the madman, basically, in his final thoughts.
Right.
Don't we want to believe? I mean, the tightest bond that he compares to Frankenstein is the fact that in the Frankenstein stories, movies, the Universal films, the kids rally by, you know, there's a kid that rallies behind Frankenstein, and it's that innocence that resounds where the adults are afraid and they don't like it. And they kind of, you know, he's a monster in that way. It kind of works. And that's the reason why I felt like it was kind of leaning towards that at the end for me.
Yeah, no, I understand. My guess is it is from his point of view, but normally when you do that sort of thing, you have other indicators so that the audience doesn't get so confused.
Yeah, so there's like a spinning token or something that stops spinning.
Something's supposed to happen to take us back or take us away from what he's seeing or whatever. But that doesn't happen. In this case, he busts through this barricade, floats unnaturally in this van. And the van, by the way, we didn't mention this. If you haven't seen the movie, he's painted a sleigh on the side of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then when it goes up, it continues to go upward, not down. It elevates and flies over the moon, kind of silhouette style-ish. It's a terrible effect, but anyway, they were trying for that. And then roll credits. Like, that's your ending. And it's
interesting
really
foreshadow too. I never
jolting.
Could quite place my finger on what they were going for, but we had seen that he kept watching the moon, because the iconic scene we see in a lot of illustrations, in which he has fantasized about plenty of times, is Santa, you know, silhouetted across the moon. And when he saw that full moon on, I guess, Christmas Day, I guess he saw that as a, you know, it kept kind of building up in his mind that was how it was going to go down, suppose.
Right. It was a bad graphic, by the way, that moon.
Right.
Didn't look right.
That graphic, yeah.
Put a circle on a stand somewhere out in the city. Now, it's called a moon.
I think there is a take on this film. It would have been different, but there is a take on this film where he becomes Santa Claus, and this is a Santa Claus inception story.
Right.
I really genuinely, and I was like, the comparison to Joker is very interesting in that regard. There's a version of Christmas Evil that could have been made that I would have said, oh, that's better than Joker. Mm. And seriously, like I believe it. I didn't like Joker. I don't think it's a good movie. And it's because of the character already having so much story out there. And we come along and we tell such a different story about the character that I'm like, you should have just called this something else. Right?
Oh, I like, see what you're saying. It's like they skinned, in a way, they made a movie about just some common psycho, but they skinned it for DC in a way.
Right. Yeah. Let me just elaborate a moment, Scott, so you can understand what I'm saying.
I like where you're going with this.
So there is a there's a character called the Joker who exists for decades, right?
Right.
And then Todd Phillips comes along and I'm going to refer to this as Todd Phillips Joker, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Joker is a criminal mastermind. Todd Phillips Joker is not. He's a dummy. He doesn't have any spark of genius at all. The original Joker is funny, right? The original Joker is a guy who makes jokes. But Todd Phillips Joker really doesn't have a sense of humor. Like he's like not the kind of person that's actually entertaining to the people around him in any way. So okay, in Todd Phillips Joker, the villain here is actually society, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's really, really boring to me. Seriously. And it makes me go, oh, right. Not every character needs a backstory. You know what I'm saying? Like a Harley Quinn, very interesting character, does not need a backstory. I'm totally set with that character from the beginning. You don't need to give me a backstory. But coming all the way around full circle, I'm like, oh, this movie could have given Santa Claus a backstory. He could have actually become Santa, and we're like, oh, so that's how Santa got made. You know,
weird.
And that could have been interesting.
That's an interesting idea. Yeah.
Again, the villain is society is not that great, but in this case, you know, the villain is Santa, I guess. Mm. Which
I thought this whole thing was interesting because, I mean, we all have probably at one point in our life stopped and said, wow, this fairy tale of Santa, kind of scary, kind of creepy.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about a guy, you know, popping into your house in the middle of the night because we get so excited as kids.
Start earlier in the story. He's scary and creepy because he watches you sleep.
Yeah.
That's keeping a list.
Yeah. He's keeping a list. And so it was fun. I thought it was really good to explore this.
He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Oh, my gosh. That is creepy. I don't like it.
Also, by the way, this Santa Claus, not real 100% sure about sarcasm. He couldn't quite tell. It's like, okay, these guys at work are being sarcastic assholes. And then he finally gets it and he starts being Stabby McGee. But then later on, he goes to a party.
He's outside Christmas party. Yeah.
Yeah. He's outside the window dancing. He comes in and they start up and you're like, uh-oh, he doesn't recognize sarcasm. This is going to end badly. Yeah. That's how they're being for real. They're being sincere.
Was anyone else watching this movie where he is at a workplace? He's a person at a workplace. Was anyone else reminded of the BTK side story in Mindhunter?
A little bit. You mean the one that you see at the very beginning and end of every episode? The BTK killer. Sure.
Yeah. In fact, I thought he was going to end up being some dude that got, because of what he witnessed with his mom and Santa Claus, I figured that would be, he's going to be a peeping Tom this whole movie. And what's really going to rile him up is when he sees someone doing it. And it kind of is that, but not really. I mean, the kid with the penthouse is enough for him to, you know, whatever. By the way, why is that kid cutting that out of the penthouse?
I love that.
What can you do with that you couldn't do with it still in the magazine? Really?
I don't know.
But I mean, if you can place the lady in your own environment, maybe it, you know.
I think if there's a serial killer in this film, it's the kid cutting out the
absolute
moss. Because I think he's about to cut off her arm or something when.
Moss Garcia, by the way, was just, it made me laugh every time Harry got mad about Moss Garcia, and then all the stuff with Moss when he was outside Moss's house, and he was hiding in the bushes, and he put the mud all over his hands and face, and he put that hand face print on the side of the wall. I'm like, where are you taking me, Harry?
Yeah,
I don't understand what's going on. But
some of that didn't go anywhere. What's the
actual sin here, right? Because you have to have a sin for every killing.
We keep keeping you awake, Randy.
Yeah, I was just. I had two cups of coffee. There was a burp trying to come out. All right.
Okay.
There was a burp trying to come out.
I'm totally kidding.
I managed it. It was fun.
Yeah, you did good.
What's the sin?
Every killing has to have a sin. What was the sin here other than lying about being needing to switch shifts? Is that the sin?
That was your sin.
That's a sin punishable by death, really, if you're like me,
Brian,
wait a minute, you made me work on a weekend, and
the sin was deception and lying, right?
But in the case of the two dudes out in front of the church, their sin was just they were bullying him. That was it.
Right. And in this case, since it's Santa Claus, it's not like a clear cut one sin versus the other. He has a whole list.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little bit different when Santa gets in there with his rules.
Yeah. He's got his own way of dealing with shit. Yeah, it's a strange thing how deep the movie actually kind of makes you think about it, despite the fact that it's kind of just a dumpy thing that you can watch for free on YouTube because someone uploaded it. No one cared.
I watched it on Shudder because I like my Shudder.
Oh yeah,
yeah. This was enough for me to start my trial of Shudder. I'm going to keep it going and watch the Creepshow stuff because I hear that's really good.
It is very good. Yeah,
do it.
Surprisingly good. It's not even just like, hey, we took the Creepshow idea and made it modern. It's very adherent to the spirit of Creepshow. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. There's also some other stuff on there. I'm like, oh wow, like these. If we could get our listeners to subscribe to one more service, Shudder would be the perfect one for like 6 months, and just we just hammer out every Shudder movie we can find.
Yeah, because there's so much on there. I mean, well, that's all it is, right? It's just all stuff. And there's got to be some real gems in there that we could find. Yes, Randy.
Really interesting aspect of this. So in December 2000. This thing gets released by Troma, right? Lloyd Kaufman's company puts out a director's cut of this movie. So you're like, oh, wait. This is a whole other company. Why in the world would they buy this movie in order to release it, right? There's no way but it does kind of fit their list, right?
Hold on. Troma now you're saying they own Christmas Evil? They're the guys that own it?
I don't know if they still did, but they did in
2000,
okay,
right?
Okay. Right.
So, why? So Lewis Jackson claims that the sale of the rights to the film to Troma was done under false pretenses. That's very, very interesting. I'm going to quote Lewis Jackson. I thought that Troma owned the rights, but of course Troma never does what they say they're going to do. It turned out they'd bought the rights in a fire sale. There was literally a fire, and the people who owned the rights were bankrupt, and Troma walked into the rubble and picked up the film and walked out with it. Like, there was literally a fire? This is so interesting. Why am I not? Tell me more. I need to know. How did this happen?
Yeah, there's a whole documentary there that we haven't seen yet. Must be. About that kind of wheelie-dealy stuff that happens in the lower B tier of Hollywood. I would love more. I'd love a better look at that kind of stuff because there's some stuff, man. There's got to be just some weird. It's like it's barely a cut above porn, and there's skeevy stuff going on there. Just imagine.
Oh, yeah.
What it's like to have Troma show up to your fire where a bunch of films burned and says, oh yeah, this one here looks like it's not burned enough. I'll give you $200. Like,
we'll take it.
Right. You don't question it. Cause they sent down the Toxic Avenger to pick it up. So you're like, okay,
I love that. They got a guy in full Toxic Avenger outfit. I'm here
to
pick up
the fire.
Yeah.
This was a different costume before it melted.
I'm authorized to buy Christmas Evil.
The other really interesting thing around this film that gets mentioned all the time when you read about this film is the video Nasty Panic in the UK. We've talked about that a little bit. In the early 80s, in all across the West, there were all kinds of censorship boards that came to be, and they started trying to get movies banned and keep people from seeing movies. And apparently in the UK, Christmas Evil was one of the movies on the list with like Exorcist that they tried to pull off the shelves. And of course, it had already been available for years. So, like, you're too little too late. Mm. But it was called the Video Nasty Panic over there. And it's just fascinating, because when you read about it, and I want a documentary on this, when you read about it, all sorts of tiny video distributors are themselves participating in the outrage, because they know if they get a letter to the editor published, that'll raise awareness of their little movie.
Oh, right? Yeah, sure.
I'll show you.
Sure.
It's an old parenting principle. If you tell your kid, you can't watch RoboCop in this house. I always bring RoboCop right. Because this is my mom. She wouldn't let me watch it. You can't watch RoboCop in this house. The kid goes, ooh, what? RoboCop.
Oh, now I really want to see it.
Yeah, I wonder what Billy's doing this weekend. I'll bet he has a VCR. Let's go over there. Like, you just... You create additional awareness by being a freaking curmudgeon.
What are we doing right now?
Everybody boo-boo.
So that is always fascinating to me when that happens to stuff like this, because yeah, that's part of their business. They benefited in a weird way from that kind of moral policing, you know?
Right.
And they all got, like, why did we care about Faces of Death when we were kids? Why was that a thing that got bandied around school?
It was promise of snuff films. I mean, how could you not want to?
It seemed like forbidden fruit. So you were like, oh my gosh, what is this thing that's banned? I'll find it and get it. Like, you just had
nothing
to get it.
Nothing makes you want something being more or being told. Nothing makes you want something more than being told you can't have it, i.e. the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Dude,
I want it.
They're finally back. They can't have it.
They are, and they're great.
They're really good.
They're worth the. I mean, it is. They live up to the hype.
They do.
You know what I wanted in this movie?
What?
I wanted more of Patricia Richardson beating up on Moss.
Oh yeah, her and
get the car, Moss.
Her and Hector Salamanca. I could use more of him too. He was barely.
Yeah, yeah. They had a couple of stars there. They didn't even know it.
Yeah.
So that's Patricia Richardson is Tim Allen's wife in the Home Improvement series. If you haven't seen.
Yeah,
it.
But also a bunch of other stuff too. But yeah, she was really good in. She was on the West Wing. She was Alan Alda's campaign manager during some of the final seasons when Alan Alda was part of the cast. Fantastic. She was great in it. Like, she's a very good actress, and she's barely in this.
I see that she's playing Margaret in a very vintage Christmas, a TV movie, just right now, that's playing right now. I wonder if she's smacking an adult Moss in that one.
To me, that sounds that sounds Hallmarky. Is it? Is it a Hallmark Christmas movie?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is, but it sure looks like it.
Yeah.
Did I miss Christmas? Did I miss something? And well, I do want to come back to Hector Salamanca, because, you know, Breaking Bad fans seeing this young, like, so young. Figuring it works into the Better Call Saul / Breaking Bad lore makes it even better.
Yeah.
But was there ever any payoff, and I just missed it, to the print, the face and hands print on Moss's side of the house?
No. Right. I don't think there was any payoff for that, no.
That's like, oh, what an interesting shot. Okay, on to the next thing.
Yeah, how is that? Ooh, that's going to play out somewhere. They're going to see that.
It's almost like if a character in Star Wars, in a really big Star Wars sequel, said something like, I just have a feeling, and then they never follow that through, Brian Nibbitt. You know what
I was trying
about.
To rack my brain, because I've watched some other, I've watched some stuff on Santa lore across the world, you know, and every country has its own little twist. And I was trying to remember if there was one that involved something like that. And it seemed like it was familiar, but I couldn't place it. So I don't know if I was just trying to connect dots that weren't there, or if there's actually some kind of symbolism.
I didn't get it. I kept going, oh boy, here we go. This is like blackface.
I was just thinking it was having a NAMM flashback or something.
Yeah. That was weird.
I just want to, before we leave Hector Salamanca, I just want to point out, without any prompting, I just declared Mark Margolyi the IMDb photo of the week. And the reason is because if you go to Mark Margolyi's page.
That was Mark Margolis, not Margolis.
Whatever you want to say. I don't care how you say it.
Marker.
All right.
I'm always here to get under your skin with pronunciation. So
man number two.
If you go right before you see his picture, Hector Salamanca's picture on IMDb, right before you see it, I want you to ask yourself, what would happen if a photographer said, okay, pull your eye down?
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking. Oh, look at that. Yeah, he's pulling his eye down.
I actually think he's trying to hold it up, and it's just an illusion. He's trying to hold it up. It's like, oh, it's falling down. Get it.
Like,
And no, it's another dude holding up a Mark Margolis mask.
Yeah. He's very good.
Famous actor. Like, don't pull your eye down in a picture.
He's a very cool actor. I like that dude a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot he was in Scarface. Played Shadow in Scarface. Anyway,
he's my little friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool. I like that dude. All right. What else I have written here? Oh, some trivia. This is fun. Kathleen Turner was turned down for the role of Harry's sister-in-law. So that was the thing.
Turned down? Like, they rejected her?
They rejected her. This is before she hit it big, so they screwed up. I mean,
and so they hired a second-rate Marky Post.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is right in her last name. You know, like you turn her down.
You turn her down. Or away, either one. It says, though it was you mentioned Patricia Richardson. This was actually her film debut. It was the first thing she ever did. Oh. So she's, you know, she was slumming
it. Yeah. This was definitely what launched her star, right?
Yeah. Do you guys like that tomato blood soup blood in the 80s, early 80s? I love that stuff. The most non-blood looking.
Chunky blood.
Yeah.
I figured it was just paint. But you're right. You would want something that you could clean up, like that was more like food.
Yeah.
Right? Because paint would have been...
Paint stays. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, but I really genuinely thought it was paint, and I still do. And I think it's so sad that they couldn't just make something that looked like actual blood.
Yeah.
What a perfect kill suit, by the way, Santa wears.
Yeah.
All red.
Sure.
Dirty fur. Yeah.
Well, the problem with the white can get some blood on there.
Well, he has the dirty fur.
Yeah. He does have the dirty fur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a fun thing to say, isn't it? The dirty fur.
It's dirty fur.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I thought that toy factory looked like the worst place to work on the planet.
That was a real toy factory, according to the trivia. And I'm like, I hope those weren't the toys they were making, because I don't remember toys being so crappy during the early 80s, but perhaps they were.
Yeah.
Well, they had to, they had to manufacture something, right?
Right.
They had to make at least enough of those stupid soldiers with lightning bolts.
Right? What a weird assembly line.
That's really weird assembly line. But that's the Pressman Toys factory. And if you look at stuff that the Pressman Toys made, I looked to see if there were like any dumb soldiers. But I mean, you know, these guys have made tons of board games ever since. And
I remember the bubblegum machines they had in there. Those were very familiar. But the rest of the stuff, I was like, I don't know.
Well, those cheap like motorcycle with a plastic guy on it. Ugh, what an awful toy. Yeah. That's just terrible.
Red motorcycle guy, blue motorcycle guy. Yeah. I'm going crazy.
I need to know that you were all reminded of the Dan Aykroyd sketches on Saturday Night Live Candace Bergen is interviewing him.
Yes.
Oh. Runs a toy company.
Yeah, this toy right here, it's a little dangerous for the kids, but kids will figure it out.
Yeah, it's a really, those were great classes.
Here we have bag of glass. It's a bag of glass. Great fun.
So good.
I love those sketches. So like that's like reminds me of being a kid watching this movie. I could not help but want to go watch.
Do you guys remember a Dan Aykroyd movie where he was in a dirty Santa suit and was sneaking punch out of a punch bowl and pulling down the mustache to do it? Does anyone have memory of that? And what movie is it?
Isn't that Trading Places?
It might be.
Oh, that would make sense because that does take place around Christmas time.
Okay. Yeah.
Nobody here, I think I brought it up before, nobody here has seen the Neighbors film, not the one with Zac Efron and Seth Rogen, but one from the 80s where he and...
Who's the other person in
that? John Belushi, I think, was the other person.
Yes.
And
yes.
The woman who... like the really seductive, sultry woman with like a low voice who played his wife. She was in that Soap Dish movie with Whoopi Goldberg. I can't remember her name.
Right,
but I didn't know
this movie would take really so many different places.
Yeah, I know you mean though. I've heard that lady before on lots of things.
At some point, if that's ever streaming, that's a great one for this because it's one of those movies that just makes you feel uncomfortable for the whole thing.
Yeah, I'd put it in like Money Pit category. It would fit on the show.
Yeah,
we could totally do it. Yep. It's not the normal comedy thing.
Kathy Moriarty is who I was thinking of.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wonder what she's doing. She has talent.
She has talent. I bet she's doing something talented.
She's got to be doing something.
59.
She's only 59 now?
She's only 59 now.
Oh, geez. Yeah. That would have made her
like... She sounded like she was 59 then.
Yeah. That's crazy. All right. The funniest moment in this movie, unintentional funny moment. was, oh, and I laughed out loud at this, where he punched his brother while he was in the van.
Oh my God, that was the best punch.
I laughed so hard.
It was a ramp up punch. It's like, let me do my little, here it comes.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw it, I thought, all right, well, we're going to see this as a GIF in our Discord. Yeah. But I was bummed that it never showed up.
Yeah, the problem with the way it was edited, you couldn't really tell. But the way he was doing the wind up. And and his brother's like grieving or whatever, and then he just the dumbest punch
outside the van.
Yeah,
it's just so like dumb.
the dumbest thing.
A runner up on that for me is when on Christmas morning Harry goes to Jolly Dreams and breaks all the toys.
Yeah, that was good.
I was just like, I know this is not supposed to be funny, but come on.
Yeah. There were a couple of things like that where it was just like. You know, you just laugh. And I know they didn't mean for me to, but I did because it was funny.
Right.
All right.
You know, the running and slipping and falling, which apparently was a real slip and fall when the mob is chasing him. And he's, I thought that house he was, they had like 18 different like sets of Santa Claus stuff. Like they had the entire walkway, driveway was lined with Santa in a sleigh. Santa in a sleigh.
That was such an amazing shot. God,
I thought that was a dream sequence. Like
we're talking about the street that's decorated.
Is it
a street or was that the driveway leading up to somebody's house?
I thought it was a driveway to somebody's house.
It was a driveway that led through like a cul-de-sac, it looked like, and then it kind of went further on up. So it was kind of both. It was kind of a little confusing, but yeah.
One of my favorite shots I just put in our shared or in our chat.
Yeah.
I love a lineup with a bunch of.
I love Giant Santa. He was my favorite.
Yeah.
And they made him even taller by making him come forward.
Freakishly tall Santa.
It's a classic shot, but it's so ridiculous because they're all wearing costumes. You would never have a lineup of people in costumes. The point of a costume is to obscure who you are.
Well, but in this case, wouldn't you, not that I disagree with you because I don't think I do, but wouldn't you want to, because since the crime was committed by somebody in full Santa regalia, wouldn't you want to have them in Santa stuff?
Scott, it's like if the crime was committed by someone in a ski mask, you put a bunch of people up there in ski masks. I can't tell the difference.
That's a good point. You're right.
That scene, by the way, immediately following the scene of the Santas in the lineup is the police detective who gives the history of Santa Claus. Well, it originally came from Norway as a Sinterklaas, and that's where the red suit came from. Like, this is going to have any bearing on where they find the killer, where they track this guy down to.
And then the other detective sings almost the entire Christmas song.
Yeah.
What are they doing in there? They were bad.
I don't know,
detectives.
But I love the how many different variations of Santa Claus is coming to town were in this film because there were a lot.
Oh, well, it's free, man. It's open source.
Going crazy.
My favorite is when he's going crazy and when he's ramping it up. They just stayed on him and he just went from, you know, humming to crazy town.
Yeah, I capped some of that. It was a little long to do the whole thing, but I capped a little bit of it where he started.
I was hoping you captured all the uneasy Santa moaning that was going on at the very beginning of the movie. It's like 5 minutes of Santa hugging a leg and just,
That scene really did seem to go on forever. And then they kept coming back to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Keep flashing back to it. Like, that was just odd. Everything about that scene and the fact that they focus so much on it in the trailers, the two trailers that exist in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I almost worried the whole film was going to be this, but nope, just that one little deal, and everyone moved on after that. I have a fair amount of clips to play that will help us make sense of all of this.
Well, we better get to those.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Let's start with this one. I forgot what this is. Hold on. Oh, heard this all the time growing up. Oh, okay, here you go. Check it out.
Good boy, Scotty.
Yeah, that's I used to get told that a lot.
Oh, that's what he's spying on the kids through the binoculars.
Yeah, which also is just so freaking creepy. Yes, Brian.
Hey, isn't Santa supposed to say ho 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 and not ha ha ha?
Yes. Because
this Santa's all about the ha ha ha.
Yeah. It should be.
Well, he's not very specific to the lore. Like, he doesn't stick to the lore 100%.
Right.
Yeah, and in the lineup, that's a good point. When the lineup, the other problem, other than that they're all in suits, is when they have them come forward, they have them say, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. That's not what he said at the crime scene.
Right.
Nobody in that lineup, or nobody on the other side of the glass is going to go, oh, now I hear the voice. Like, you didn't hear his voice. He just said things like, I gotta go, or leave me alone, or whatever he said. He was just like whiny and wimpy. So, ugh. Now I'm annoyed. Really? I'm annoyed by the lineup. That really bugged me. Even though I like that pitcher. All right, here's something about Harry.
How about you, Harry? How you doing? Hey, that looks great. Let me have a bite, will you, Harry?
Oh, just that guy's such a dick.
That was the sin right there, Randy. Frank ate his sandwich. That,
I know,
don't lie.
But right. It's a movie that doesn't really, and I know it's not trying to be Seven or something, right? Like,
right.
But it just it doesn't have any kind of consistency with his moral judging. Again, is the punishment even close to the crime? Sometimes yes, but sometimes not at all. Yeah. You know, and it does kind of tell a Santa story in that way, right? You're either on the naughty list or you're on the nice list. It's a binary. Santa's freaking evil, but I mean, it just, I don't know. I just noticed. I tried to put a cardinal sin on every murder, right, and I couldn't.
I think it's more like a momentum sin. So like if you've started the momentum of getting on the naughty list, that's all Santa sees. And he just keeps racking it up the point, you know,
yep.
You're on the good list. You're good. He just kind of watches those things. So he's kind of profiling.
Yeah. A little bit. What a jackass. All right. Yeah. He likes to be close to the toys.
I miss being close to the toys, but.
Oh, he didn't finish the sentence, but he's pretty stoked about close to those toys.
Close to the doors.
Here he is freaking out while he's singing, like Brian was referring to earlier.
When he has to inhale, I lose it.
Yeah.
He is losing it in that scene. It's pretty fun to watch and really poorly portrayed, but whatever, it's fine. I don't know what this is. Okay, my gosh, this is how a lot of the movie sounded, and I had headphones on, and I almost had a freaking seizure in this movie because the sound design is so bad. So here's an example of that.
Kirk Harry, I can't hear you. Hold on a second. Will you turn that down?
It's that loud, Daddy.
Yes, it is, you little shit. Dennis, Dennis the shit.
Yeah, that was Harry's brother's family, Philip.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always freaking out about the loud noises. I think that was his problem.
Yeah.
Philly didn't like the loud noises.
Yeah. But Dennis, the little rat kid, seemed to be fine with it. But I was on the other end of all
it's
this.
It's not too loud, Daddy.
Yeah, it's plenty loud. All right, he's really into this material. Listen to this. He's looking at his Santa suit and going.
Is that when he's dyeing the? No, he's cutting up the fake fur.
Yeah, that's when he's that's when he's putting his Spider-Man suit together.
Yeah, you'd think he was putting his wiener in it or something.
Might have been.
It was
kinda, yeah.
Okay, well, what the F is this transition sound? So enjoy this.
Sandy Lopez.
That's
Sandy Lopez.
I mean, it's a sound that would indicate that some aliens have just beamed up something, right? Yeah. Or shot a laser and transmuted a person into a dog or something. But it could also be indicative of you're now crazy and imagining something,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
Like they could have used that sound to go into his crazy mind.
Yeah.
And like that. So like, I want to believe, we're right there. It's almost a better movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Almost on the edge. I wouldn't mind a remake. In the right hands, it could be fun.
Oh man. Get some Blumhouse people in here on that thing.
Why not?
Aw, yeah.
Why not? Indeed. All right. This kid's a pervert. I wrote.
I wish I had a lifetime subscription to Penthouse Magazine.
All right. Amos.
Get it done. Yell it across the street, son.
Well, quit cutting your copies up and you know, right. Maybe it'll last longer.
He cut half her boob off too in that shot. What was he doing?
I'm saying serial killer.
Yeah. Also, wouldn't you be looking at the side with the image when you're cutting it, not facing it toward the window? Because you're cutting
maybe
around the shape.
That's why he was cutting the boob off. Because maybe there's something better on the other side.
Right, right. Maybe the shape on the other side's a little better.
Yeah, maybe. All right. I wrote throws rocks at dogs. I don't know what this is.
Moss Garcia throws rocks at dogs.
Oh. Is that true?
Picks his nose.
Yeah.
Uses profanity.
Is a braggart was my favorite listing on one of the kids. Naughty.
Is a braggart.
Atrocities. Is a braggart.
Whoever says that. No one uses the term braggart.
You never hear that phrase.
Santa.
No. You braggart. Or braggart. When people say braggadocio, I want to kick him in the nuts. I hate it.
Who says
Does
that?
Somebody say that?
Yes, that's a thing. Braggadocio. They'll say, oh, he walks around totally with his braggadocio. Here, I'm going to find it. Braggadocio. Oh, I hate it. Or braggadocious.
Now, braggadocious, I've heard.
Yeah. Here it is. Braggadocio, definition, Merriam-Webster. Whoops. It's got to pop up. All right. Empty boasting or arrogant protection or pretension.
So what cockiness. You're saying is to be kind of pretentious to be a braggadocio.
To say this word.
Braggadocio.
It makes you want to die. Oh, I hate that word.
It's like mustached. A person can just be mustached.
You mean mustachioed?
No, it's just mustached.
I didn't put no pistachios in my mustachio.
Wait. So I'm going to play this for you, Randy, so you'll enjoy it.
Mustachio.
I know, it sucks.
Mustachio.
Oh, you can say it two ways. There's two ways to say it. So hold on, you got this. Hold on.
Mustachio.
Or?
Mustachio.
Mustachio.
Ooh, now mustachio. That hurts my feelings.
That should hurt your feelings.
As a longtime mustached man, I beg to differ.
Okay. You might actually say that you are?
Mustachioed.
Yeah.
Nope.
You're mustachioed. No?
That was her. That was her. Facial hair.
It's too bad. Kind of like that. All right. A kid getting slapped.
There's something horrible in there. Now you get in the car.
Jeez,
wow. Patricia Richardson.
Yeah,
right?
Are you gonna take it out on the guy next door who's you only see the top half of his face?
You gonna be that way with Haley Joel or whatever the kid's name was on your Home Improvement
Jonathan
show?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, that's the one.
There you go.
Three names.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
He had a Christmas movie about 10 years ago? That was pretty good. That's about the last time I've seen it.
It was pretty good, really? Okay. I don't think I believe you, but I'm trying
to get home, I believe.
I'm looking him up. He's currently still using a photo from when he was a kid.
Sure.
Right. Because why wouldn't you? He's most recently known for... I forgot he was young Simba in the Lion King animated thing in 94.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
But so since then, not a lot going on. Oh, he's on Last Man Standing. That was a thing. And
he just couldn't wait to be king.
Yeah. Eight Simple Rules, Smallville, The Simpsons.
Was he on Eight Simple Rules?
Yeah, it was earlier in the aughts, so he hasn't done a lot lately, though. Anyway, good kid, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. Yeah, he's in a movie.
I'm sure things worked out for him in the end.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. So I was feeling for a little bit. I was feeling a little bit for Moss there. You know, we never saw his dad. He was getting slapped around by his mom. So
right.
Maybe you know
somebody's
going
to have to clean up the side of the house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, going to make Moss do it. And honestly, he was kind of a cute kid. Big old eyes, you know, cute kid, just looking like a good kid, running around doing
pretty
stuff.
Pretty brave, too. Yeah. I mean, pretty brave. I wouldn't have went near those bushes.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, you might have. I wouldn't have went near them bushes.
That's right. I'm not going near them bushes, sir.
A little bit of Southern coming out of you there today. All right,
get
how about this?
In the car, Mom. Let's go get some presents.
There you go. Here's a guy that sounds like a robot for no reason at the party. Here you go.
And how you feeling now, Harry?
What happened?
Yeah, what's up? Just that one guy. I guess they did some work afterwards, and they...
I don't know.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Did not sound right. I wrote, this guy is grating on my brain, so let's see what that was, because I don't remember.
I'll tell you, Harry, I don't know what the f*** you're talking about.
Hey, good to see you again. Hello, you're Ben, isn't it?
Yeah. That guy, hey.
Mr. Potter. That guy sounded like Mr. Potter for sure, didn't he?
A little. You mean like...
Like Colonel Potter?
Yeah.
Or
no, Potter it's from It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, yeah.
Life Potter.
Man, let me give you...
They all sound like that. all right,
would like to sack It's a Wonderful Life some year. I just...
Wow.
I don't know.
I think it's just such a horrible movie, and I want to explain why.
I watched it for FilmSack.
To invest in that, Randy.
I watched it for Current Geek this year, so give me a year, and then I'll forget about it. But yeah, maybe. I also think it's not the greatest thing in the world, like everyone does. It's fine.
Colorized version or black and white?
I watched color. He watched black and white so that we both had one of each, and then we compared them. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's full Santa mode, I wrote.
What do you think you're doing?
I have a delivery. I mean, I have toys for the children inside.
Oh, I mean,
I've taken
wait
a
minute, you're not leave it. Santa. Yeah, that Santa wouldn't make that mistake.
Right.
That guy
by the way, is this our worst depiction of Santa of all time? I'm curious. If anybody's got a worse one. You brought up Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places.
I love
that. You got
that,
a worse
though.
One, like where you're just like, that's not Santa. That person is wrong for Santa.
You mean unintentionally wrong? I mean, because Billy Bob Thornton, you wouldn't count as
okay,
like.
Okay, so right, oh, right. There. Yeah. Though, that's a great answer to this question, though. Like Billy Bob Thornton putting on that costume still doesn't look like Santa, even in a Santa right. costume. He's not right. Santa. Is that like, the worst depiction of Santa?
I
ever.
Love that first movie so much.
I'd throw Artie Lang from Elf.
Elf. Yeah, yes. I think he's pretty close to the worst. But is this worse? Is this worse than Artie Lang?
I mean, at some point, he kind of weirdly looks like Santa in this movie. After a while, like he's no longer the dark haired, like nebbish guy at work. He looks like a downtrodden beat up Santa Claus, but right. Santa Claus nonetheless. So I don't know if it's the worst depiction.
I don't think it's the worst. I mean, before he does get all gross and covered with soot and beat up and that sort of thing, like the hair application and makeup, it looks pretty good.
Yeah
it doesn't look like you're just generic white wig and stuff. Like
what happened to his face, by the way? Did some lady stab him in the face, or did I imagine that?
That happened. She was she was standing there. Yeah, she was sitting there messing with her little Christmas pin, and she kept waiting, and then he comes by and she goes, stab.
Yeah. And he made a face and then ran, but then that never really came up again. Didn't really bleed that much. Mm-hmm. It was fine.
I loved the turn against the parents with that little girl getting the switchblade and go, here's Santa. Uh-huh. Stab him.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, a little bit. Santa. All right, here's one for... the same old guy.
What are you, wacko?
What are you, wacko?
I'm gonna pull out my revolver.
And I'm sorry, I can't get off this topic, but is it Tim Allen? Is Tim Allen the worst Santa?
Oh, I really dislike those Santa Claus
movies.
Santa
Claus movies. I like the Santa Claus movies.
They're
I don't care what you say. They're
bad. They're
yeah,
not
you
good.
Can't, they're not bad.
They're really bad. And don't let anyone convince you otherwise. Those are bad movies.
Look, it's hard to come up with a good saying any Christmas movie is objectively good. I mean, because they're all bad.
I disagree.
It's just whether or not they play to your particular spirit.
The Griswolds would like to take issue with your...
Yeah, and Elf is... Elf is just so good. It's so heartwarming.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
And by the way, Elf has my favorite Santa, which is Ed Asner. He's perfect.
Great. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a great Santa.
He's great in there. But there are definitely a few movies that I think are great Santa movies, but there are many that are not. And I'll tell you what, my least favorite, this is going to cause a stir, not here, ooh, but maybe with listeners.
We've already bashed It's a Wonderful Life and called Santa Claus series terrible. There's nothing you could say right now that would...
Okay, well, Jim Carrey's Grinch movie I do not like at all.
Oh, plenty of people do not like that.
It really rubs me wrong. I feel like the movies in that vein or like Jingle All the Way or just movies that are
now,
Christmas...
See, I was okay with you not liking the Grinch. I can understand it. But you just told me you didn't like Jingle All the Way.
Oh, you a big Sinbad fan, are you? Is that what's going on? Like the Sinbad?
Okay. Yes, I am.
All especially right. in that film.
My daughter went and saw Sinbad at Wise Guys downtown last week and said he was very funny. So apparently he's still touring and still got it, I guess, for people who like Sinbad.
I feel like every year, so my tradition every year is to be the last person awake on Christmas Eve. And then I've saved a couple of
okay,
gifts.
Okay, Santa.
I've saved a couple of gifts to wrap.
Yeah.
And I sit and watch Bad Santa while I wrap gifts.
I love Bad Santa.
And I'm always challenged by people who absolutely hate that movie to explain how it's good. And I don't really have a good explanation. It just feels like an auteur took a weird concept to its extremes. And it actually has a happy ending.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm good. I like
it.
and they use the Christmas music throughout it and so on.
Right.
But I don't have a solid explanation. It just like it clicks with me.
And
so I'm agreeing with you, Brian Dunaway.
You don't need, that's what I'm saying. I absolutely agree with you. You don't need to explain the good or bad of a holiday film. It's just what resonates with you, because just like we all have different ways that we celebrate and think of Christmas.
I mean, if you never want to hear a negative thing in your life, don't see Bad Santa. But if you want to laugh and enjoy a really twisted take on a lot of holiday tropes and just good acting and funny comedy, Bad Santa is great. Bad Santa 2 is garbage. They screwed it up. It's not good. Bad Santa 2 should not exist. I mean, it can. It's fine. Whoever, someone likes it.
All they had to do was remake the first one. Like, that happens in comedies all the time. We're just going to tell the exact same story again in a slightly different setting with some new jokes.
Yeah.
That's all they had to do.
Yeah, like Star Wars. All right, hey, check this out.
Best comedy ever.
I wrote, these guys are jerks. Let's see what this is.
Well, Santa, you look ready for a busy night. Come now, Charles, a little respect.
What's with the freaking Philip,
the British,
British Philip people out there? Where do they come from? What's their deal?
I couldn't tell if they were being sarcastic. At that point, I was totally confused.
Oh, hello, Santa Claus. You look lovely today. They were dumb. They deserved a thing in their eye. That's what I'm saying.
A little soldier stab.
Stabbing the eye, though. It's always wrong.
Here's some creepy kids all being... I don't like kids who do things in unison because, A, it's highly unlikely they ever do. You have to train them to do this. So when they do it naturally... Those are creepy kids and are children of the corn. You should avoid them. But here they are doing it.
Merry Christmas, children.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Run, dude. Run. Get away from those kids. All right, here's that horrible sound again. Ugh, so bad. That is so just like... I don't, that's like when Kirk gets taken over by an alien entity or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think...
You know,
the Kill Bill movies use stuff like that just to be kitschy, right? Just to be a throwback, but that old
Jiju.
I like Jiju.
Yes, that's exactly what that sound is called. Jiju.
Yep, Jiju.
Yeah, in the subtitles, that's what it says.
Yep, Jiju.
Closed caption.
Yep, nailed it. Jiju. Here is let's see. Oh, a great death sound. This is what's his name upstairs getting sliced after he thought he had suffocated him. So here's that part. That's the best death sound you're gonna get.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And then the wife doesn't make a noise, like screams, but doesn't make a sound for like 3 minutes.
Terrified so much that she couldn't. I was already kind of annoyed with that scene, because if you've ever tried to smother someone in their sleep, I mean, a compact, you know, stuffing in a pillow is much better, more
way
effective
better.
than a box full of presents in a sand. You're not gonna
there's too much uneven, right?
Yeah,
you need a flat surface.
Yep.
Yeah,
that was not good. Kill a guy etiquette. Santa. Yeah,
bad planning.
That's right. Here is, I wrote, how do you know what's in? I don't know what this is. I'll just play it.
No, I know that inside.
Oh, he just knows things by because of the inside.
Okay.
Yeah. The inside. That was the brother scene.
Inside. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of dialogue in this movie that I didn't get. Like, I just didn't know what was going, why this was being said, and it made me think: what if this guy had a separate person as the writer of the film?
Yeah.
Like, just know, like sometimes maybe you're too close to the project. You need a partner.
Yeah.
Somebody in charge of what actually gets said.
Exactly. of what gets said in your movie. I like that. All right. Avoid, I don't know. I wrote a lot of these down. I don't know what they mean. So I'll just play it.
Avoid anyone dressed as Santa Claus.
Well, that seems like a broad thing to do.
Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
Was that the Geraldo Rivera?
I want to know whose cousin that was, because he was kind of a weird.
He had big, glorious parted hair, like just a
call 9991212.
Yeah, if you see a Santa Claus, run the other way.
Why would it not be 9-triple? Because
why not just 9-1-1?
999, because 999. What?
Why couldn't you say? Can you? I mean, in movies, you can say 911 in movies, right? Is there some rule that you can't? Okay, so why couldn't they just have done that?
It just didn't. It wasn't a thing then.
Oh. Yeah, it didn't get invented until the late 70s, early 80s or something?
Well, this was set in the 80s. It's only the flashback that was before that. So this was like 80. He should have had 911.
Maybe hadn't heard of it.
Yeah. That van was like era appropriate and all the other cars and stuff. I think they screwed that up. They should have just said 911. Call 911.
I guess it was the late 60s. Huntington, Indiana in 1968, you had 911.
Yeah, so he should have had it by 1980.
But was it nationwide, though?
Nationwide in America.
In America.
As late as 1989, at least 28 Chicago suburbs still lacked 911 service.
Oh, weird.
Well, it's a joke in that town, for sure.
In 2000, it was only 93% of the United States had.
That's crazy. So... How does it not work in places? That just seems like a
weird.
Hello?
Like it seems like an easy thing to turn on.
Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't seem like it'd be that hard.
Yeah.
But what do we know? We don't know.
Yeah. In 1979, 26% of the U.S. population could dial the number. So there you go. So around the time of this movie. Yeah. So
well, this movie came out.
9-2-1-2-1.
Yeah. But this movie came out in 1980. The movie.
There was only 20% coverage in the U.S. Right. at that point in time. So it's unreasonable to think.
You're saying in 1980 there was only that much coverage. That's
only 26% of the U.S. could call 911.
That's crazy.
The rest of us apparently were calling 9992121.
Right.
Wow.
And dying.
1212.
Dying a lot because we had rotary phones. So it was like.
That blows my mind.
Further away with the nines.
That blows my mind. I thought this was like 100% of the country when I was a kid. I was sure of it. That's just nuts. All right. Well, shows what you know. We learn things on this show. Check this out. Time for this. It's time for the Film Sack Checklist. Santa really dislikes that penthouse kid? Check. Adult men treating Santa like the short kid on the playground? Check. And his brother Phil is a huge dick? Check. Trek connections. We have a few, surprisingly. Stephen Medillo, who played Tom in this on Enterprise, played Captain Tavik in the episode The Seventh. Mark Margolis, or Mowgli's, or however Randy said it earlier.
Mowgli.
Mark Mowgli. He was man number two in this. In TNG, he played Dr. Neil Apgar in the third episode season of A Matter of Perspective. I do not remember him being on Trek, but I would.
No, I don't either. And that name sounds familiar. Dr. Neil Apgar.
Yeah, something about all that sounds familiar. Third season, too. So I'm going to check. I want to check that. I want to see that.
Yeah.
John Towley. Don't forget to bring a towel. in this, he played Joe. On DS9, he played Vedic Asan in the sixth season episode Resurrection. So there you go.
Oh, that's the one where. They sent like this is the one where they think Riker gets killed on this. They think Riker killed a guy, and each one has their different perspective. This guy thought, Riker was totally horning in on his woman.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, and he's the doctor that's in the flashbacks. He's kind of a psycho, jealous.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Oh wow. Okay. I mean, I still may have to watch that again. I don't think that's a very good episode, but I'll watch it.
And he rings a little bell all the time in his wheelchair, and then Gus Fring comes in, and never mind.
Yeah, it was there and poops on the floor. Poops.
Is there anything more poops demanding than a bell? It's like ding.
No.
From Hector Salamanca, it is very demanding.
Is it because it's so annoying? You just want to do anything to stop it.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair.
That's why you don't see it on countertops and. Retail stores anymore.
right.
Or hotels, they don't do it anymore.
No, exactly.
That's bad.
What was I going to say about that? That episode of Star Trek is like a foreshadowing of deep fakes because it's basically everybody trying to convince each other that each of their memories is the correct one because they're actually watching them.
Right. And that's right.
Yeah. Deep fake, man. That's what's going on there. Soundtrack great. I'd give it a WTF for what the F. Also designed to make me think I was going to have a seizure at any moment, I wrote. And it was just real annoying and in your face and of its time and 100 other things, but it is what it is. It's fine. I mean, who expected a fully orchestrated, beautiful soundtrack?
Right.
I didn't. All right. Now, time for us to do what we do best. That is the Twitter post where you guys sum this up in 280 characters or less. Let's begin with Randy.
Christmas Evil, you'll watch from the stairs as men dressed up in costume go down on women who can't see that you're there. Just like Saturday Night at Ebbets House.
Perfect. Brian Dunaway.
Oh, Christmas Evil. To Mars Garcia. Suck it. From Santa. P.S. I hate you so much. Why don't you just die already? Merry Christmas.
By the way, Mars Garcia might be our chick in the bucket. Just never went back to it.
We have no good on. Right. Last we saw, he rode off in the sunset with his mom, right? Is that how it happened, I think?
Or, that was it.
Did he show up later? I can't remember.
She was having a day off or whatever she was doing. I don't know what her deal was. Right. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Christmas Evil. He's a dasher, a dancer, a prancer, and you'll be fixin' to vomit. It's stupid. I'm done. Let's get blitzin'.
Okay, so once again, though, I have to come back to the very, very beginning. I need an answer to this question because it sets the stage for the whole film. At the very beginning of the film, mom and two boys are sitting on the stairs. Santa shows up, and then he winks at them. Mm-hmm. And then later, a kid comes down and sits on the stairs and watches the thing that I was just making a joke about.
Right.
Is Santa at the very beginning the magical elf Santa, or is that dad?
No, it's dad.
He's putting on a show for the kids.
It's dad putting on a show. Yeah.
But he disappears up the chimney, which seems unrealistic, but I'm with you.
When you're watching the movie, it kind of seems like they're all watching the real Santa Claus, right?
Yeah. I think that was on purpose, but I think it was meant to be that, you know, and then the wife's behind him going, this is kind of turning me on.
Yeah. A lot of ladies in this movie, like at the Christmas party, all the ladies wanted to dance with Santa. Is this a secret fantasy? I don't want to know.
Let me tell you this. Here's what you do. Just don't search for that on Bing image search and you'll be fine.
All right. I'm going to Bing image search right now.
Don't do it. Don't search for sexy Santa or your
ladies. I'm not going to search for Santa and sexy Santa. Look at ladies like Santa.
Oh no. I'm telling you, you're going to find something. You will.
Oh,
you may.
I gotta close my browser now. Okay.
Yeah. Clear your cache and
clear history.
Yeah. Clear history. All right. Incognito window ASAP. All right. Here's the an email. Oh, no. I got to do alternate titles. I almost forgot.
I got to share one, though, in the chat room. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, please put it in there. Thank you very much. All right. Oh, look at this. Here we go. This thing had two. We know of the other alternate titles that it almost got or that even had. Like the credit said, better watch out.
Right.
And for my version. But this actually had alternate titles beyond that. One was, oh, the weather outside is shiteful. Or jolly old Saint Dick. Okay, let's take a look at Brian's image. Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. That's a man's nipple. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's a man's nipple. With a cutout shirt with some reindeer ears. There's a say why, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, why is right.
Don't like it. Why? Don't like it. Why? All right, email. We got an email from Etienne, or ATN is how you're supposed to say it. From Montreal, says, hello. This may seem out of nowhere, but I was listening to the Terminator episode recently, and I think I may have found a case where time travel was handled properly. Drum roll, Heroes Season 1. I don't know what that means. Anyway, he's talking about Heroes Season 1. Hero comes back in time after he has pinpointed the spot in time that broke his universe. He knows he will return to his own present, and it will be unchanged by his actions, but he knows his buddy Ando will live on in the other timeline. That's it. Take care. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So correct. I always go to Ibbett on this, because Ibbett is a connoisseur of when they get it right and when they get it wrong in time travel. So, Brian, your take.
That depiction of time travel is...
Bing!
Correct!
Yay! Yes.
Well, that's how time travel works.
Yeah.
That's right. You can travel back to your own time. You can't travel back to the time that you, or travel forward to the time that you altered, because you could do something to change whether or not you create a time machine and therefore create a paradox.
Right. Which is why Looper.
First contact,
Looper, the one with the whales for Star Trek, for that matter.
Voyage Home.
Yeah. Voyage Home.
Yep. A million of them.
They all do it wrong. But a couple of movies, there's a few out there. They get it right.
Movies do it right. Exactly.
And too bad season one was so good of Heroes, because the rest of it sucked. All right.
That's true.
If you want to send an email in like that, you can. Filmsack@gmail.com. We'd love it. So do that. Be like Etienne and send us your emails. Our next film is not at all related to Christmas. It is, in fact, related to the new year. What is it called? What are we watching?
New Year's Evil.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
New Year's
Evil. Basically,
I
looked for any movie where they changed the word Eve to evil and watching it for film sack.
I want to watch Adam and Evil. Or,
yes. Probably a movie.
The same year of 1980.
Oh, nice.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm.
The three faces of evil. I'm trying to think of all the Eve movies I know.
Sure, sure.
It's Eve. That's it. That's all I got. That's all I got.
That's it.
And this is streaming on Prime. It's streaming on, I guess that's kind of it. It's streaming on Prime.
Right.
Deal with it.
I mean, you can, it says DirecTV subs, but that's not even DirecTV anymore. It's AT&T TV and Epix if you have Epix, but for some reason don't have Prime.
Gotcha.
Mustachio.
Great. Well, then I'm very excited to see that.
That's the name, by the way, of the main villain. His name is Mustachio. Oh, Mustachio.
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 Okay, cool. Watch out, everybody. Here comes Mustachio.
Mustachio.
Mustachio to stop.
Yeah. Here's how you know.
Mustachio. Mustachio.
He's mustachioed Mustachio. Anyway, that's all happening. That'll be next time. When are we record? It's just next week, right? We're just doing it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, do anything.
Yeah, we're all good. So next week we'll be here.
Still be in Canada, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're gonna do that, and I have no idea what that movie is. So I'm coming in totally cold. I assume it'll be bad like this, which is exciting because we enjoy stuff like this.
Yeah, of course.
And we've got a whole new year ahead of us at FilmSack. 2020 should be great. So thanks for being with us in 2019, everybody. We really appreciate it. Been a weird year everywhere but FilmSack. FilmSack's been just this like solid little weekend rock we all have to look forward to. And having you guys there with us is a treat. And I look forward to a whole nother year of it. I don't know why I'm doing this now. I could do it next week when we have the final episode of the year.
This week is Christmas. Yeah. Next week is New Year.
Yes. Merry Christmas, everybody out there. You know, a thing we've always been able to say. And enjoy it. FilmSack.com is our website. You can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. Filmsack@gmail.com is our email address. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Filmsack. That twill do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
And to all a good fright.
We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Cynthia, shut up, Dirty!
Okay.
Ugh.